Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, the world's most highly anticipated trawl through the week's popular culture and entertainment, but mainly television. I'd like to have a warm welcome, give a warm welcome to Stephanie Seelan, who's back from holidaying in Gran Canaria, tanned and...
Sensational.
Sensational as ever.
Well, I feel warmly welcomed. Thank you.
And Steph is joined by Kay Ribeiro, who is here, who hasn't been on holiday to anywhere.
Well, except for New York, which I went since the last podcast. Great to see your memories improved. Yeah.
That's when she wasn't here.
That was weeks ago.
Well, I mean, it was last week.
When I was back, but never mind.
I should have remembered when I was abandoned on my own.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe you blocked it out because they have bad memories.
Yeah, we're in the post-awards lull, aren't we? Like, you know, like after the Oscars, when life feels a bit empty, it's all been about who's going to win, Well, it's the same with the Unmissables Awards, really, wasn't
absolutely.
It? Because our lives were dominated by that. I'm sure even in Gran Canaria was on the news.
It was on every station. I couldn't get away from it. People were shouting at me down the streets. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. New York.
Times Square certainly had a lot of, posters up.
If you haven't caught up with the Unmissables Awards, listeners, there's a special podcast that we put out last week featuring the likes of Benedict Cumberbatch and Vicky McClure and Jack Whitehall.
Et al.
And us three.
Our best friends.
Yeah, and us three. And it's there. It will always be there on iTunes for the rest of time.
Well, yeah, but it will be overtaken next year by the Unmissables Awards. And if you want to be in the Unmissable Awards next year, then you just try harder, as I've said before.
Looking ahead to next year's event. Oh. But more importantly, this week, in the main meat of the programme, or podcast, as I like to call it, we're going to do a film this week, because we've all trooped to the cinema to see a film coming out this Friday called Suburbicon. And it's directed by the George Clooney, and it stars Matt Damon and Julianne Moore, and I think it's very interesting, so we're going to do that.
And I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Interesting film. It's good criteria.
Some films are a bit boring. This is not one of them. This is an interesting film.
This is an interesting film.
You looked at me like I was mad, saying some films are boring. Is that controversial?
I'm going to defend Steph. It's because if it wasn't interesting, it would be missable, and we wouldn't have it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be a pedant. I do.
Let me just say, if we'd have all three trooped off to see this film and it had to have been boring and not interesting, we still would have reviewed it. That's,
Would we?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, we'll talk about those rules and regulations another time. We're also doing three television programmes. The Marvellous Mrs. Maisel, which starts on the Amazon Prime next Wednesday, 29th of November. And Witnesses, A Frozen Death, which starts on BBC4 this Saturday. It's in the foreign language... Go on.
Hold on.
Call it
what it is. It's a show you've got to read. That's what it's called.
It's subtitled.
Steph can't get to grips with subtitles.
Oh, I forgot about that. Sorry when I said that.
I read a book 2 weeks ago, and that was, I thought I was done for the year.
Apologies. Okay. Apologia.
Apologia.
Kay insisted that we review The Sex Robots Are Coming. That's what it's called. It's on Channel 4 next Thursday at 10 o'clock. And it is, to be fair to Kay, you're right. It was part of a whole season of robot-flavoured stuff on Channel 4. They're showing a really good film, Ex Machina, on Saturday night. Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk about robots. Yeah.
Well, why not?
Sexy robots.
But before any of that, in the traditional format of the podcast, we talk about what the hell we've just been watching right now, recently, in the last week or so. Mm-hmm. You've been away.
I've been away, so I've watched absolutely loads. But I just need to clear something up. So... Do you remember when we talked about Peaky Blinders?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And I said, Cillian Murphy, right? And then...
Killian.
Yeah. Well, I gave it a look up. I also asked an Irish person and they said, no, it is Cillian. I was like, are you sure? Do you know someone called Cillian? And they said, yes. And then I looked it up and it's Killian. So I'd just like to publicly apologise for calling
him Cillian. So you're the Irish person as well?
Well, I feel like... An Irish person should know how an Irish person's name is pronounced.
Didn't we correct you on that live?
We
during
did.
The
no,
podcast?
We didn't. We left it open.
Oh. I thought
really?
We did.
I thought
no.
I corrected you.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Which By is me. Why you still make the mistakes, Steph.
Yes. Yeah,
it's good to know, like me, sometimes you don't listen to what we're saying.
Oh, no, I didn't listen at all.
Oh, I thought we immediately... Cillian, we were like... I certainly,
it's
mentally...
It's so refreshing hear that you guys are just zoning out while we're recording.
I listen to my own opinions and then you two are just like blobs of noise. So anyway, that's officially cleared up now. But would you like to know all the other things that I've
been
watching?
Yes, I would, yeah.
How long is the list? It's quite long. Doing an hour podcast.
I know, it's quite long, but some of them I'm going to go through quickly. So, one, I'm very, 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 very happy with Motherland. I watched all of them, all six episodes, and it was excellent. So thank you, Boyd, for introducing that to our life.
Oh,
I'd just like to commend you, Motherland, for being incredibly, incredibly funny.
Listen, I've talked about that so much in the office that now everyone, I think, in the Heat Office has
really
watched it.
Good.
It's brilliant.
It's very, very funny.
Still on iPlayer if you want to get it.
Do you remember we watched that great drama, The Boy with the Top Knot?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Well.
You read the book?
Oh, God. One book a year. And you made me read this television programme as well for this one. No, I watched...
Produced by Diedrich Santa, by the way, who responded.
Ah,
sent
Mr.
me a lovely
Santa.
Email. Yeah, yeah. I forwarded, I think, didn't I?
Oh, you did, yes. Yeah.
It was a kind email. But what I'd say is with kind emails should come, you know what, kind reviews on iTunes. Oh.
No,
Mr. Santa.
No. Listen,
Mr. Sands has
listen,
not done it. I've
listen,
looked.
Listen, you review fascist. I asked him to review it, and he could not technically work out how to do it, which many people can't, to be fair.
Well, do we need to make a manual? I think
it's difficult
we do.
Because it all it depends on what platform you're using. If you're using it on your laptop or your iPhone or your...
It is hard.
Do you know what I mean? So it's all... You've got to think of instructions for every single different version of iTunes.
And that is why we will accept letters in the post that we will photocopy, we will upload. Yes.
Anyway, apologies for interrupting because you were about to say something else. After The Boy with the Top Knot, splendid, still on iPlayer as well.
Oh, so good. But I watched the film The Big Sick. Have you seen that film?
Yeah, of course.
No.
Two very opposing responses. Oh, it's an enchanting true story. You would love this, Kate. It's very much in the same vein. It's basically about this... comedian, Kamil Nanjiani, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and he falls in love with this girl called Emily Gardner, and he's like a budding comedian, but he's like Pakistani born and his family want him to marry Pakistan, and oh, it's lovely.
You can't get enough of this
I honestly can't, this cross-cultural relationship.
Funnily enough, I doubt very much if you watched it, this method, but it is out on DVD and Blu-ray and officially on iTunes today, yeah.
No, I didn't watch it. Okay, I didn't watch it, but that is we'll see that ties in.
I don't know how you watched it.
I just watched it on a television that was available to me. Another thing I've watched is things I've watched with Steph. I watched that Chris Brown documentary, Welcome to My World.
Oh dear.
Oh, he's such a twit.
Twits of the highest order.
Oh goodness,
I thought you used to fancy him.
Do you know what? He writes a lovely ditty. He writes a great song.
And you do like a bad boy of rap.
And the bad boys are rapping.
But he's a bit too bad.
God. No, he's just a twerp. When he's going into explaining why he beat up Rihanna, he sort of goes, oh, and she said that you saw that girl. And I was just like, oh,
Chris
my God,
in
you're an idiot. He was, wasn't it? Later, I'll do a little rap for you. Oh, he's so awful. It was awful.
He's awful, surprised. But was the documentary good? Was the programme good?
I think it's interesting because you think, you don't realise how much of a twit he is, and then you
really?
Watch it and go, oh, good,
see,
you
I
are
think
a twit.
Even without watching that, I just think, twat of the highest. I'm saying the word twat of the highest order.
I think my problem is now is that I have no sympathy for people that have millions and millions of dollars and are going, oh, it's so hard being rich and it's so hard being famous and I've got so much anxiety.
So hard being a woman abuser.
Yeah, well, do you know what I mean? It's like also, it's like, oh, yeah, I did punch her in the face. And also, he's awful, horrendous.
Is that on the Netflix or is that another illegal download?
Excuse me, that is on the Netflix.
Okay,
like all the verified unillegal things that I watch. Is unillegal a word?
It is now.
Illegal. It is now. And I'm not going to say the other two things that I've watched because they both need a long explanation. And maybe I'll say it until next week.
Really?
Okay, I'll tell them. Right, so one of
why would you do that?
I had a bit of a Denzel Washington special.
Oh.
I watched American Gangster, which I'd never watched, couldn't believe I never watched that.
Random.
Yeah, but true story about the gangster Frank Lucas. It was
that's
excellent.
Very K-style retro
I know,
watching.
That's what I thought. I felt like that's K.
Listen,
like K
I'm starting a sub-franchise of Late to the Party.
Yeah. Late to the Party, that's good.
And then I also watched Antoine Fisher, another Denzel Washington. I know, I don't know what happened. I just like went into a Denzel Washington hole. Another
He's got
true
a new
story.
Film coming out soon, which is in which is heavily tipped in Oscar season. Which
so
I
then watch
the
that
of.
5 years later. If you want to do late to the viewing.
I'll put that in my diary, my 5-year diary, because I like to plan.
While I look up the name of this Denzel Washington film that's about to come out, Kay, what have you been doing?
When I went to New York last week, Boyd, when I was on the aeroplane, I got a chance to watch some films. Now, you know me, I'm not much of a cinema goer, but I watched a film that you guys have been talking about so much and bigging up.
Please bet it be Baby Driver.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It was Baby Driver.
Oh,
yeah.
You take me out.
Oh, my God. I loved it. You guys have been raving about it. And then you mentioned the musical word, the M word. I was like, oh, God. It's fantastic. I love it. Ansel Elgort is amazing in it. I mean, obviously, there was the horrendousness that is Kevin Spacey, which, you know, now
so
I'm just
I
like...
I feel like if you'd watched it pre-Kevin Spacey, you would have
exactly.
liked it
more. So obviously that did, you know, mar my enjoyment a little bit, having to see his toady face on screen. Well, but
it's really taken against him.
I mean, haven't you?
I have, but I do enjoy House of Cards, so it's quite difficult.
Come on, we all enjoy House
of Cards. Listen, Baby Driver is amazing, totally 5 stars, the music's brilliant, and it's made me want to resurrect my white iPod, so if anyone knows how to fix that, because I think it's broken, that would be great.
Winner of Best Film of the Year in the Unmissable Awards.
I know, I'm endorsing it now fully. Oh, I'm really getting behind
it. That's its main accolade. Yeah. You know, that's what it's known for.
Yeah. That's the number one trophy on the director's shelf, no doubt. And the other thing that I saw, which is now joining Baby Driver, my top films of the year, Paddington 2. I took my little niece, Tilly, to see it at the weekend. And, oh, my God, have you seen it, Steph?
I haven't. I've been quite busy watching all these
Denzel Washington films. Got it.
She'll be catching up with it somehow.
he's got a cameo in Paddington.
Imagine the next few days.
I don't know what you mean, Boyd.
Okay, well, go and see it because it is
in the cinema.
I will go and see it in my living room.
It's honestly watching the cinema is better than Paddington 1. It's so heartwarming.
I haven't seen Paddington 1.
Oh my goodness. Come on.
Paddington 2, the film that I outrageously predicted, according to John, our producer, guru, editor.
I was not going to get an Oscar, Boyd. I stand with John.
I thought that was outrageous too, Boyd. It was crazy.
I mean, that was a bit.
I think you were having a bit of a moment. It was mad, though, wasn't it?
It's going to be nominated for myriad BAFTAs. Let me predict that now. And
BAFTAs.
Oh, God, I could get a BAFTA.
Oh, God, I could get a BAFTA. Well, I mean, I think if we had titles for this podcast that weren't, you know, the films and the TV things, Oh, God, I get a BAFTA, definitely be the title of this week's podcast.
But it's not the same as it's getting like an Oscar.
No.
It isn't, though.
Okay, all right.
Do you think it's going to get an Oscar?
I think it could be nominated, yeah.
Yeah, that sure, we're all going to get nominated.
It doesn't mean anything.
No, we're not all going to get nominated. All of a sudden, you're both going to get nominated.
This is a sign of the times. This episode is going to get nominated for an Oscar, without a doubt.
Anyway, Paddington 2. Yes,
yeah, it's fantastic. 5 stars. 4 marks to Hugh Grant, actually. And I cried at the end. Oh. So it's very emotional. Did you cry when you saw it, Boyd?
Yeah, I think I shed a tear. Well, no, I think most people cry at Paddington 2, yeah.
Anyone with a heart. So, yeah. Steph, go. No, but it's an uplifting, heartwarming tale, so go and see it.
Is Paddington 1 called Paddington?
Yes.
Okay. Just
Paddington 1, Paddington 2. Got it? Yeah. Right. And finally, in late to the party news, you know, I like to bring it every week. One word. Bosh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Bosh.
Really late. Yeah, really late.
Listen. Titus Welliver. I literally was screaming about him
You mentioned Bosch like months ago. Yeah, like, in
did.
The first ever podcast.
I did. And Titus Welliver retweeted how much we love him.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh,
oh my God. I am
podcast.
All over the like that, like a rash
I
now.
I know. Like a nice rash.
I listened to you months ago because I listened to you. And so I watched it first season. Have you watched all three then?
As I said in the podcast, I watched all seasons. I'm completely up to date.
Oh, God. I'm obsessed with him. He's
so
good.
You know,
he's
an artist.
Is he?
Yes. In the same time that you told us, because I do listen to you, that guy from The Bill is an artist. Do you remember?
What, Burnside?
Yes, he's an artist. Anyway, Titus Welliver's an artist as well.
He's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, Pogs, people on the ground listening, you have to watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. He's an LA detective. First season, he's trying to clear his name because he's been accused of shooting a witness. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on the hunt of a serial killer, as Steph said 4 months ago.
Right, that's all I needed.
And he's a bit like, I really love a bad boy, conflicted, you know, rough around the edges detective. It's like Tim Roth in Tin Star, right?
Yeah, he's like that.
Yeah, and Titus is amazing in it. And also, I enjoy the fact he's bringing back a shell phone.
Bringing back a shell phone?
You know, the clam phones? The flip ones.
Yeah, why is he doing that?
Oh, yeah, he always has one
always
of those
on that phone.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, he does. And jazz. And has the most amazing apartment I've seen in a series.
He's bringing back
ever.
Jazz.
Yeah.
But do you know what? Do you know what I paid for that apartment in the film? Is that they made a film of his life.
Yeah, I watched the first series. Cool. Boyd.
Well, you should watch the rest of it because you'll really like it.
Tell us. What have you been watching?
Did I mention 89, the film about Arsenal's 1989 triumph for Anfield last week?
Yeah, you did. So we don't need to hear anymore.
Did I?
Yeah,
I feel like you would have done it. It's Arsenal.
Anyway,
no, you
didn't.
Go
on. It's out
on
DVD, Blu-ray and digital download this week. It's the greatest film ever made because it is about the most exciting end to a football season ever when Arsenal beat Liverpool 2-0 in 1989 and they had to win 2-0, otherwise they wouldn't have won the championship that year. Anyway, it is mainly for Arsenal fans, to be fair.
It is phenomenally
good.
You tweeted that you cried. What was so sad? Yeah,
why
was
it so
three
good?
Because
it's already happened. Why was it so good?
It's already happened.
But it's like
any documentary's already happened.
No, but like I don't understand how it can be that good when it's something that you witnessed on television when it happened. What was made it so good?
Because the whole story about it is the most unlikely victory. It's only like, it's like a film where, you know, the team to win, the team you're rooting for, has to go away to this other team. They have to win by two clear goals, and it all happens in the last minute of the match. For the whole season's been winning up to this thing. So it's like, it is like, you couldn't have scripted a better climax.
I feel like every season has like a football story like
that.
No,
it doesn't.
No,
it's not true. Anyway, also, and the other reason, and the reason, other reason I cried is because it was the same season that Hillsborough happened.
Oh, okay. Well,
now you've made Steph look like an asshole.
Yeah,
well done. Well, you know, every week I try that. But
and you succeed.
Yeah, most weeks. No, that's just joshing, obviously. But so, yeah, an incredibly moving coverage of that.
Okay, well, now it is moving. All right.
Thrown into the whole narrative of the story, yeah. But more importantly than that, because that is really mostly of interest to Arsenal fans, I have to admit.
No, okay, well, hold on a minute. Other people can enjoy it, though.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. It is an incredible story.
Okay.
And it's also an insight into 1989. This was pre-internet, pre-mobile phones. This was people actually engaging with the reality of the situation rather than, you know,
documenting
about
it with
media,
their phones.
And
yeah.
There weren't any live matches on TV. This is before the Premier League. It's incredible.
In 1989, there weren't any live television matches.
Hardly any. You used to get the FA Cup and maybe five or six live matches per year.
That sounds ridiculous.
I know.
How did you cope?
It was really difficult. You had to follow. You had to go to the matches.
Was it?
The struggle was real, Steph.
The struggle is real. I'm going to quickly mention, so that's it on DVD, Blu-ray and iTunes now. And I'm going to quickly mention two brilliant Netflix things. The Sinner. Have you all caught up with The Sinner
yet? Oh, Jessica Biel thing.
Yes.
Oh, no, I haven't, but it looks amazing. Just, she stabs someone on the beach.
Yes. So it's an adaptation of a hugely best-selling novel, and it's all about Jessica Biel is happily married to this hunky guy. She's got a new baby son, and everything seems fine. And then suddenly they go to their local beach by the local lake, and suddenly, as you say, she's peeling like an apple or an orange. And then she looks out at this couple who are snogging in front of her, and they're playing an annoying 80s song, and she decides to stab him to death with her peeler. And it's all about why has she done this?
Because she doesn't know.
No, but everyone's got their tipping point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Honestly, there's someone
the public display of affection
works around me. Yeah, and they crunch an apple pretty loudly. And there's been times when I'm like, oh my god.
No, she's eating the apple. She's eating the apple.
She's
using the peeler.
She's
to stab.
No, I'm saying someone crunches an apple loudly wanted to just cause injury.
Very disturbing. And it's eight parts, and it's self-contained mystery, and it absolutely keeps you guessing all the way through. Brilliantly.
Oh, I'm going to watch
it. And twists and turns. And Jessica Biel. I mean, I've never been a fan of Jessica Biel.
I was about to say, when was the last time she did anything good?
It's an incredible
sudden
emergence of Biel as this fantastic actor.
So is this her Kidman moment?
Well, the first time.
This is her Kidman moment. Thank you. Yeah, she spends a lot of the thing crying because she's been accused of this thing. She doesn't understand why she did it. She doesn't know why she did it. Well, you know, we don't think she does. I'm not going to spoil it. And she's put in prison for it, obviously, and she's going to stand trial for it. And she's got a little baby and she's got a husband, and she has to go through the mill, and she's absolutely brilliant in it.
What's it on?
It's on the Netflix. It's out.
Wait, she does it with an apple peeler?
Like a fruit peeler, yeah.
Why does she just eat the apple? Like, why is she peeling it? I mean, that's the biggest...
No, that's not... No, I don't like the peel of an apple.
You peel your apple?
It might be an orange's peel. I can't remember which item of fruit she's peeling.
Come on, let's always be factually correct.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to watch that because I finished Law & Order now.
Yeah.
I finished the Law & Order, which you can still catch. Law & Order True Crime, The Menendez Brothers on Sky.
Of course.
Eight parts. I know I said five, but it is eight. It's finished now. It's
but The Sinner, I think it's the Netflix kind of, you know, discovery that everyone's having at the moment. It's the real, like, because they didn't really, it's one they've bought from. So in America, it's shown on the USA Network.
Right.
And Netflix bought it to show here. And they wait till it all been finished so they can show it in one go. So it's all there for you to watch all eight episodes. But people are going crazy about it because it is so good. It's so compelling.
I'm going to go crazy about it next
week. There's that. And also, quickly mention, which we should really review properly in the meat section, but I didn't realise how good it was going to be, is Godless, which is this Western.
Yeah, we should have reviewed that.
Sorry, Michelle Dockery. Kay's looking at me with disgust.
We should. And then I looked at it and I was like, this looks terrible.
Dockery, Jack O'Connell.
Oh, I liked Jack.
Brilliant.
I do like Jack.
Both of them, fantastic.
Okay.
It's written and directed by Scott Frank, who does a lot of stuff with Steven Soderbergh. Steven Soderbergh is exec producer. Scott Frank wrote Out of Sight. He's a brilliant, brilliant scriptwriter.
Out of Sight, great film.
It is, if you like Westerns, and if you don't like Westerns, Kay, then I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I would be prepared to review
it. It's a superb modern Western. And again, it's a self-contained
Western. Is this the place where all the women, it's just all women? And
so there really were these towns in the Old West, where all the men had been killed, basically. All the men go out and join gangs, and they all get slaughtered, leaving just the women. So, yeah, this is set in a town where it's pretty much just women left, and it's intriguing and fascinating.
How is
and Michelle Dockery? Oh, my God.
What's her accent like?
It's brilliant.
Oh, is it?
It's
oh,
so good.
I like
because
Michelle
obviously we're used to her being posh, super posh in Downton. Her accent is brilliant, and so is Jack O'Connell's. They're both two British people in this like iconic Western setting.
The last time I watched a Western was Deadwood, which I really loved and got cancelled. I was very upset about
Deadwood,
that.
You know, they're bringing it back. They're bringing it back for a one-off film, on HBO.
Well, do you know what?
Great news.
Everything's brilliant now.
Yeah, glorious news. So, let's move on.
Oh, no.
What?
No.
Okay, wants to pay tribute to some of our...
Oh, actually, I want to mention my person who I'm watching things with. At Little Emsley is also a fan of Law and Order. And I'm very sorry I told you it was 5 parts. I did get overexcited. It was 8. It's finished now. We both loved it. And we're going to be on my next thing we're going to do. We're going to do Netflix Lock Up State Prison. So we'll be watching it together. My little Twitter friend.
All right, I just quickly want to mention, because, you know, we're trying to get, well, I've been a bit obsessed with getting 50 reviews by Christmas. Well, we've already reached 48.
Oh, so we only need 2 more?
Yeah, no, well, now I'm going to raise it to 60, obviously, in that kind of overachieving way. Because, like, I want to be like the woman on Motherland, you know, when they do the fundraiser, she's got the thermometer and she's raising it up. We've had so many nice reviews, so I just want to quickly thank just a few of them. We're going to do Fenwood, who says we're in his top 3 podcasts.
Hold on.
Yeah, I know. He only listens to 3. No, it's fine. It's fine. Right. Nitty KT. So I love the fact that she's got a bit of a craft name, Nitty, who says she actually looks forward to running on a Tuesday so she can listen to us, which,
running.
I mean, that sounds crazy.
God, running.
And lastly, Steve Wilkie, who... Actually, Steph, he enjoys our... sharp intake of breath when we disagree.
That one was for you. That one was for you.
Which is pretty much all our.
Yeah.
The sharp intake of breath. Yeah, that's when the sharp intake of breath is good as opposed to the oh my god, which we were criticised for
quite rightly in
the Observer review.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Not early on the other day. Yeah.
No, was that? No.
It was a long time ago. We've moved on, guys.
I mean, I think we're slightly better interrupting each other with oh my gods, but a sharp intake of breath is fine because you can hear what everyone says over an intake, can't you?
Yeah.
So that's perfect.
It's when you're making noise.
Demonstrating. Yeah, and
I'm still talking. It's fine.
That sounded quite weird. So they're the I'm ill.
Three shout-outs. No, I'm splitting it up because I don't want it to go on too long, but there are super pogs this week. So thank you for taking the time to review us.
You get the reward of Kay's love.
Kay's love. Oh, my love too. And your love.
Yeah, come on.
And John's love. Just Kay's love.
Mass love.
Mass love to you all. Now, don't run. Just sit on the sofa and listen. Who's running? Who's doing the running?
Or Nitty, Katie.
Oh, Nitty.
Should they
it.
Run to the cinema this Friday?
Oh, that was really
beautiful
nice.
Beautiful segue.
Really nice.
Like Steve Wright, that one.
Yeah,
To watch a big new film, Suburbicon, which is directed by George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars his good friend, Matt Damon, of course, from the Oceans films. They often.
And the Bourne together. Films.
And the. But no, yeah, but. George Clooney's not involved in the Bourne films, I mean. They're together, aren't they, in the Ocean's films? Oh, okay. The great Julianne Moore, who I consider to be... that's a good noise as well.
Oh, God, she's so wonderful, isn't she?
Yeah, she plays 2 different twins. Yeah.
Which I don't mind, because you know in... what's it called?
Apologia.
No.
When you didn't notice the twins.
No.
Okay. You realised...
Juices.
That, did you
juices.
This is my first question.
Juice.
The juice. Do you remember?
Yeah.
What's
you're
his
against
chops?
Anti-twin, James Franco.
James Franco twice wasn't necessary. This, very necessary and amazing.
You did realise that Julianne Moore was the same person playing 2 different characters. Just checking.
I don't think you need to say 2 different twins because I think twins is...
Well done, Steph, for pulling him up on that. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You were being the snark master general and she picked you up on it.
I was waiting until you finished to say that.
Good work. And who wants to assail the... Apart from the fact that Julianne Moore is playing twins. Okay. In the 1950s, in a suburban American small town called Suburbicon, quite literally, preteen Nicky has to deal with his mother dying and his aunt June, played by Julianne Moore, moving in. And his father, Matt Damon, behaving increasingly suspiciously. It's all very strange. You don't really quite know what's going on. So you introduce these characters, the mother, the aunt, and then they get attacked. There's like a home invasion situation, which is where...
In the night,
which is where the mother dies. And it's quite terrifying.
Mm.
And then you think, what's going on here? And then it all turns out to be, without it's kind of like we should stop there, shouldn't we? So yeah, we all need to know is the zone invasion. She, the mother dies. The aunt moves in.
All is not as it seems.
All is not as it seems. Yeah, and it's the way in which all of that is not as it seems.
Yeah.
Particularly through this young boy who's trying to piece together what the F is going on
yeah.
in his life and with his family, with his dad and his aunt. That is the kind of is the premise of the whole film. But at the same time, Kay's looking at me like I'm mad again.
Oh my
gosh.
Face.
Every
pod is just my face.
I know, it is just a face, Boyd.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I'm looking at you with respect,
love.
Boyd. Please continue.
Well, and then at the same time, running parallel to this is the fact that their neighbours, a black family, has moved in next door, the only black family in this community. And to start with, you think, oh, it's fine. And the boy makes friends with the boy from the black family. You think that's nice and sweet. Then it becomes increasingly clear as time goes on that this black family is being subjected to the most horrendous persecution and bigotry. Wherever they go to the supermarket and they're told to leave. And in the end, they're kind of basically attacked, aren't they, by the locals, more
or
less. And that happens concurrently with this mystery of what's going on with this boy's father and the aunt. And that's pretty much it.
That is now, exactly it.
Before we review it, before I ask Kay what she thinks of this film, it's interesting because this has come out in America, and it's safe to say it was a huge flop.
No.
Yes.
So shocked.
I know. We saw it like quite a while ago. We all trooped to the screening room to see it, and we were about to find out what we thought. But it's been quite a big failure in America in terms of box office, and it didn't get that good reviews. It got some good reviews, but let's find out what we think about it. More importantly,
good setup.
Here.
I'm so shocked by that because, okay, so I just think Hail Caesar wasn't a flop, was it?
It wasn't a flop. But Hail Caesar was a kind of, art house Coen Brothers film, wasn't it? That always, I think, is pegged to a certain expectation. Whereas this, I think they thought, with Matt Damon and Julianne Moore, Oscar Isaac comes up in it later on as a kind of insurance investigator. People thought, oh, with this cast and Clooney directing, it's going to be a big mainstream film, but it definitely hasn't been.
I can understand it not being mainstream, but I can't understand it being a flop because I think Coen Brothers is very much a formula and kind of what you're going to get with their kind of humour, their dark humour,
yes.
dark comedy.
Yes.
And you get exactly that, and this one's really funny.
Well, we should say, of course, this is from a script by the Coen brothers. So this is from an early script. This is they wrote the script for this, but it was then adapted and changed and altered. And I think bringing in the black family element was a new thing that happened.
So that's
in this later revision of the script.
So one of my issues with it, I did enjoy this film.
Yeah,
it's not a flop in my eyes, but I just feel that black storyline felt a bit shoehorned in.
I agree with you about that. That
it
was
didn't
a bit
have
strange.
It didn't seem cohesive for the actual story.
Strange.
It was just like a tack on, and I don't think
but
it had
I think
a place
it was,
in it.
Well, what I think it was trying to say, though, it was trying to talk about, because that actually did happen in the 50s, didn't they? So in the 50s in America, they did, outside lots of cities, they built lots of kind of prefab housing estates, didn't they, for American families. And it is the case that they wouldn't sell them to black families.
Yeah,
so it was actually very difficult for black families
historic.
To move
no,
to
I
the
No, I believe
suburbs.
It to be true, but I just feel like if you took that element out, it wouldn't take anything
no,
away
I
from
agree.
The film.
No, I agree. I think they were just trying to maybe, I don't know, steep it in a certain time, but it doesn't seem... It's not necessary to the main
no,
story.
Well, I think particularly in America, it got a lot of criticism because of that, because I think it is tacked on, literally tacked on to the original Coen Brothers script, so I don't think that was there. And it kind of feels like because... their story could happen without it affecting anything that happens in the main story. It feels almost exploitative. You're exploiting this kind of story of racism and these black characters, which are very thinly drawn. You don't really get to know
that's
them.
That's the thing.
And they're just being used by, white liberal George Clooney
hey,
and
we
Matt
tick
Damon.
This that's, box.
Yeah, right. So that's... Ooh. And I think that element of it has ended up being the downfall of the film. And I think even... Because in the end... The mainstream audience didn't go and see it in America because they thought it feels a bit kind of arty and a bit smug and a bit, I don't know, right on. And then, but also the kind of liberal left people didn't see it because they saw the criticisms of people saying, oh, it's a bit rubbish how this black family story is tacked on. Mm. So I think that's the problem with it. But I thought that the main body of it, the stuff about Matt Damon, and Matt Damon plays this quite horrible, try not to spoil it too much, very questionable father... I mean, the way he treats his son is kind of incredible as the film goes on. I thought that was very refreshing to see Matt Damon, who's obviously mostly likeable and,
And Julianne Moore as well.
And Julianne
both
Moore.
Both morally dubious characters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're both fantastic. I love watching them both. And they're great in this. And I thought the boy was brilliant.
That's what I was going to say. The boy is the best thing, though. He is so good in this film.
I thought it was very compelling. And I'm surprised that it ended up getting quite a lot of criticism. Because I think, I think the main body of it is really compelling and interesting.
What did Charles Gant give it?
Charles Gant gave it 3 stars. Yeah.
I think that's fair. 3.5, I'd say.
I don't know. I mean, I really liked it, but I like anything kind of Coen Brothers and a little bit kooky, so I liked it.
But wouldn't you say, wouldn't you say it's not one you need to go to the cinema to see? Wait for it on DVD.
God, no, you absolutely can watch it in your living room.
Yes.
As you would. I don't know how we got you to the screen.
I mean, to be fair, Steph's watching films in her living room anyway.
Yeah.
I'm being attacked, people. I'm being attacked.
I mean, I was surprised that as we were watching it in the screening room, you weren't watching something else on your iPhone.
I'd already seen it. I thought I should go for company.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, I think it's good.
Okay.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm annoyed it's been such a flop in America, and I hope it does better here, because I think it's worth seeing. I think it's a good night out at the cinema.
When is it out here?
It's out this Friday.
Oh, I don't think it's a good night out at the cinema. It's not a night out at the cinema, boys.
Steph, I think it's a shop in Take Your Breath.
Yeah.
It's not, though, is it? It's not a night out at the cinema. No. I don't think anyone's going, let's go and watch. I don't think it is.
It's a DVD at home.
It's a DVD.
Oh, shall we watch this?
It's
tonight?
A DVD.
Well, we've agreed to disagree. Clearly, you're not going to give it many stars. Kay?
I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
Oh, okay.
No, I really liked it for home.
But you wouldn't go out and see anything.
I wouldn't go and see it at the cinema. I'd be disappointed if I'd gone to the cinema and seen this.
I would too.
Whereas Daddy's Home too. Now I will be going to see that at the cinema.
There
no,
you will.
Three and a half. I'm going to go with
Kay. Okay. I'm going to agree with 3.5, but 3.5 is enough of a recommendation for me, and I'm fully in favour of going to see things in the cinema rather than.
And Boyd's
going
to pay for you
home.
To go. Each of you.
Every single one of you.
Well, I took you to see it in the cinema, and what gratitude do I get?
Absolutely
free
none.
Free screening, everyone.
Let's move on to the latest series from the Amazon Prime Video people.
Oh.
Probably the world's closest rival to the Netflix people. It's a streaming service.
Yeah.
They have Transparent, which news just broke the other day. It's terrible, isn't it? So because of allegations of sexual impropriety, the main star of Transparent, which has changed the face of...
Jeffrey Tambor.
Changed the face of how we treat trans issues and has been Amazon's best show by far. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be in it anymore. He's pulled out. It's shockwaves to the industry.
I know.
This is potentially their biggest, most high-profile thing since Transparent. This is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And the reason I think it's so high-profile is because it's from Amy Sherman-Palladino, who created... Steph?
Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Gilmore Girls.
Be glad I asked you that question. Glad you got it right. Gilmore Girls is a huge deal. That was, of course, revived by Netflix last year. And it's the story of it is... Oh, I was going to let one of you just describe it. Okay, do you fancy it?
Yeah, so the story is about Midge... Now, is it Maisel? I was calling her Maisel in my head. Maisel. Is that how you say it, Boydo?
Maisel. Let's call the whole thing off. Bagel.
I'm calling her Maisel. All right, so Midge Maisel's this Jewish lady who's got the perfect life. You know, she went to a great university in New York, married the perfect man, lives on the Upper West Side and has a beautiful family. And, like, she's the most dutiful wife. So she goes to bed with full makeup only to an hour later take it off and then wake up before her husband wakes up, you know, to put it back on. And so she's really, like, this prim and perfect 50s housewife. And then... something happens that pulls the rug from under her feet and she's left to reevaluate her life and what she's going to do with it. And I don't want to say any more. I don't know. Can we say more?
Her husband is struggling to be a comic.
He's a businessman who has a hobby and she supports him in being, as Sliff said, a stand-up comic. So this woman is very charismatic and persuasive. So she uses her skills to give him a better comedy slot.
Now, I know you accuse me of sometimes not listening to every word you say, but did you mention in the start of that, did you mention it was set in the late 50s?
I said she's a 50s housewife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I apologise.
Set in
late 50s in New York. And I think we can say, because the pilot, this is what Amazon does, the pilot in which everything you described happens, has been on Amazon Prime for a while, but this is the full series. So that, you know, they have pilot season where they put four or five things on, and then they decide what they're going to make. But the trajectory of it is that she ends up becoming a stand-up comedian.
Well, you couldn't. You might, but he is probably
done
it upon himself.
Bitten the bullet.
It is, as they say, it's the premise. It's not a spoiler. It's the premise. You know that my favourite phrase.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's all about the whole idea of it is from Amy Sherman-Palladino. She wanted to tell the story of this, the most unlikely. You know, how does a Jewish housewife in 50s New York end up being? On one level, she's just kind of, you know, her husband wants to be the stand-up and he wants to be the star. Then it ends up, she's the one who ends up being on the Johnny Carson show and being
a
nationally
story?
Famous. It's not a true story. I think she's thinking of various examples of...
Joan Rivers.
Or even Lucille Ball, you know, all of these, like, iconic women who became TV legendary comic figures. Yeah, I'm sure maybe Joan Rivers is a lot of it.
That's
yeah.
what when I was.
I think it's a really good idea because I thought, it's fascinating.
Great idea.
It's very very original. I when I was watching it, I did think, is this about Joan Rivers really? Because it just seemed like Joan Rivers, because obviously she's Jewish mother and perfect. It just seemed like that. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was. I mean, I love anything that's got New York in it. I thought the whole all the costume, anything. Go on, you just challenge me. Go on.
What about the remake of Godzilla with
Matthew
SJP's husband. What's his name?
Broderick.
Yeah, that famously terrible Godzilla remake.
Wonderful to me.
Yeah, because it was set in New York.
Yep, loved
it. Carry on.
Anyway, nitpicky. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was filmed beautifully. I loved, and the whole way through I was like, where do I know her from? And she played Rachel in House of Cards.
Yes.
She played the hooker in the early seasons.
Rachel Brosnahan. Our lead Miriam, Mitch.
No, she's great. Yeah. She's great. I thought the whole thing was wonderful. She is really funny. You can kind of see all the way through that she is the funny one in the relationship. And I really liked it. I'm definitely going to keep watching it.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was funny and original, and I thought it was everything that I wanted The Last Tycoon to be, which it wasn't.
Has The Last Tycoon bombed?
Yes.
Yeah,
They're not
commissioning
it.
That's good. Thanks. Invest all the money in this.
I think they heard our review.
Well, certainly.
The Amazon Prime people.
No,
if it's not going to get a great review on Amazon.
If it's not going to get an Unmissable Award, then just stop filming.
It's definitely not going to be Unmissable. Yeah. This could be up for next year's Unmissable Award.
Yeah.
It is. It's refreshing. I like it. It's very empowering, isn't it? To see a funny woman take centre stage once.
It's very Jewish. As a Jew, let me just say I am a Jew,
as you may have heard.
And it's interesting because, of course, Transparent, which I was mentioning before, the greatest show on the Amazon Prime, is incredibly Jewish as well. It is partly about how a patriarch of a family becomes a woman and goes through that experience. But it's also there this incredibly kind of well-to-do Jewish family full of neuroses in California. This is very interesting. It's full of Jewish people with their own different kinds of neuroses in New York. And it felt to me like a kind of extended Woody Allen film of the classic period.
Yes.
You know, of the glory days. It might be like Radio Days. Have you seen Radio Days? About his childhood. Mm. And Bullets Over Broadway. But they're both set in earlier than this. They're not necessarily early in the 50s. But it's definitely got... And it's got the look of it. It's very sumptuous, isn't it?
Maybe that's what your book can be about. You know, we're talking about you writing a book. Maybe Jews. It could be about, Jewish people in journalism. Maybe you could do something like
Jewish
that.
Jewish people in journalism?
I don't know. You know, we're talking about, you know, that Satnam...
Jews in journalism.
Yeah. Specialist.
Just field. Saying. Maybe that's what it could be.
Like the boy with the top knot.
Yes. Yeah.
The boy with the couple.
You need a unique angle. I'm giving it to you. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I'll take you up on that. Yeah.
Her Jewish mum in this is hilarious.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, there's a moment where she finds out, you know, when things just go tits up with her husband, and the mum's reaction is so hysterical.
Maureen Hinkle from 2 and a Half Men, and her dad is played by the great Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, Monk.
Of Monk. Yeah.
Oh, that man does not age.
He's great, isn't he?
Honestly,
the Shalhoub.
He's been the same age for like 25 years.
He has.
The Monkmeister.
Oh, he's great.
I think we all liked the Amazon Prime videos, the marvellous Mrs. Maisel. Maisel.
Maisel.
I think it's Maisel.
Maisel. Maisel. How many stars are you giving it? Steph.
4.
Wow. Okay.
4.5.
Ooh.
Yeah. I found this very funny.
4.5 for me as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's out on, well, the pilot you can watch now, and the whole of the series drops on this.
No. It's a plonk.
Arrives.
No, plonk.
Oh, it's a plonk. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, plonks.
When you're away, right?
We decided.
Now, listen. Yeah, John's shaking his head as if he doesn't know what I'm talking about. We agreed that the new drop was the plonk.
Yeah. Because Netflix are discouraging me from saying drop.
I know,
now.
And it's the arrive.
But we've
rename it. Come plonked. On, get on board.
Yeah, but I wasn't here for that discussion.
Oh, so because you weren't here, it didn't happen.
No, exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel plonks on Amazon Prime next Wednesday, the 29th of November. Please do watch it.
I think we should say kaplonks.
Oh.
Much like the much loved game, kaplonk.
Very good. I thought it was about time that we assailed one of the Saturday night BBC 4 subtitled dramas because they're very, very popular. People think, my mum loves them, for example.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. She loves a Saturday night subtitled drama on BBC 4. And and there's a new one starting this Saturday. It's called Witnesses of Frozen Death. It's interesting for a number of reasons. One, it's the second series of Witnesses featuring the main female detective who's in it, called, played by Marie Daubnier from
She's
The Tunnel.
Lovely.
Right? But it was originally on More 4, on that Water Presents thing on Channel 4. You know,
was
their
oh,
subtitle
yeah.
thing that you probably love, because you love nothing better than watching subtitles.
I love something when yeah. it's on a special channel to make it look pretentious.
So BBC 4 is so enamoured with it. They've nabbed it. They've nabbed the second series for their own.
Oh, I love a sweep.
Yeah,
they went
swooped.
In.
It's a swoop.
It's like Bake Off all over again.
Yeah, it's a total swoop. And it's got a very interesting premise. I think they're showing it, they're trailing it a lot, aren't they? Do you want to explain the premise, Steph? How do you feel about that?
I'll explain. I feel good about it. Okay, good. So once again, just remember, everyone, this is a TV show that you have to read. So just be prepared to get those two things in line. So basically, it starts with a bus that's broken down. And this lovely detective goes to this bus and she discovers 15, is it 15?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 15 men on it, all trussed up to the nines, but frozen and dead, okay? Who's murdered these people? We don't know. But three of them are connected by one woman, Catherine Keener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Catherine Keener,
no,
the famous
I know,
Indian
famous
American
actress. Who I love, from
yeah,
40-year-old
she's
virgin.
Great.
Oh, she
yeah, this
is
Catherine
fabulous.
Keener with an M.
Now, all of these men have the same thing in common, that they've been missing for 3 years, and also Catherine Keener has been missing for 3 years. So later on, you find Catherine Keener awakes in a car. She doesn't know what's happened to her. She has no recollection. So they think that she might have killed them, but she doesn't know. But it does emerge, and again, I think this happens early on, so I'm going to put it down to premise,
yep.
that she has, in the last 6 months, had a baby. Right, so she's got a husband that's been looking for her for 3 years and two kids, and God knows what happens,
yeah.
but that lovely French woman's going to find out. Be sure of that.
Yeah, Sandra Winkler, Lieutenant.
What a fantastic surname.
Sandra Winkler, played by Daubnier.
Yeah.
And Catherine Keener is played by Audrey Fleurot of Spiral fame. Spiral is another big French drama that they show on BBC
nice.
4 back in the day. So apart from the fact that you'd have to read it, or as mm-hmm. everyone else says, subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you resented the fact that I forced you to have to read things.
I'm
going to
surprise you now.
Go on.
Because I absolutely ruddy bloody love this.
I thought you would.
Thought it was fantastic.
Because it's a great premise, isn't it?
It's such a good premise. I know I said the thing about reading stuff, but I really loved The Return. Do you remember that French
yeah.
show? I really, really loved that. And I was very sad that it did. It came to a good conclusion, but I really enjoyed that. And I think this has got the same kind of feel, the same kind of mystery. She's really watchable, this main detective, isn't
yeah.
she?
She's
beautiful.
Really good.
And
yeah.
I like it when they have... So she's got an ex-husband and she's got two kids, and I like it when they have a little
she's
bit of domestic drama.
She's a strong, independent lady, though, isn't she?
Yeah. And also, all the houses that they go and visit are really nice in it as well. It's a lovely bit of French landscape
oh, yeah.
in there. Yeah.
yeah, his house is nice, isn't it? The husband of the missing, yeah. the woman who went missing, he's got... I thought, yeah, he's a nice gaff. Mm.
It's really, really nice. Yeah. A lot of glass.
A lot of glass,
anyway,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
beside the point.
Mm. Like
I thought it was
designs.
Absolutely fantastic. It is a bit like Grand Designs. Yeah, I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and I'm definitely going to watch all the rest of them. I really want to know what happened, and it really held my attention the whole way through, and I also did not find it too difficult to read and watch at the same time, which sometimes does happen. The only thing is with these things is you cannot like go and make a cup of tea at the same time because you have to read
but
the
I think
whole
that's,
thing.
That's
unless you speak French, like John.
Oh yeah. Well, you could pause it, can't you? If you watch it on Sky or you know one of the modern things, you can pause live TV, can't you? And then make
no,
a tea.
No, but I like to do things at the same time.
No, but that's what's
watching,
good about
reading.
Foreign dramas is that you have to concentrate. You can't.
That is true.
You can't tweet. You can't do. You have to give it your full concentration. That's why actually it's brilliant.
Yeah, like the old days when you had to. You could
yeah.
just like sit there tweeting and using.
Yeah, let's get
you
back to the basics.
Pay
viewing.
Attention. Mm. Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
so,
I'm a purist.
You liked it as well.
I enjoyed it.
Oh. Shop
so,
intake.
Oh, it's
shop
sick
intake.
No all over again.
Kay has issues.
No French reviews.
Like that song, that issue
yeah.
song they did on X Factor the weekend.
Oh no, goodness. No, I did enjoy it. And it is an interesting premise.
Oh, not interesting
it was
enough.
Just, it was just a bit slow for me.
Slow?
I felt, yeah, I didn't think it was pacey enough.
Relic
it was a bit plodding.
Fast. This is too
yeah.
slow. God. When are we going to find the right pace for you?
Well, I tell you what, my Spanish drama, that's
oh,
when you
God,
find the right pace.
Oh,
that
really?
Was, yeah, it was much
So you
more
don't think this is as good as that Spanish drama, which is on
no.
BBC 4 on Saturday night?
No, I know who you are, which is also on BBC 4.
But you speak Spanish, so that's different.
But it doesn't increase the pace of the
well,
the
yeah, plotting because
of
you
the
don't
drama.
Have to read it.
No, but I mean, again, it doesn't like change the pace, does it?
I
drama.
Think it does.
I think Kay's right there. But interesting, because it's got because there's that's the drama about people losing their memory, isn't it? What's
yeah,
the word
amnesia.
For that? Thank you.
Oh my God, you've got it.
I can't remember the phrase,
oh
but
the
not
irony.
Being able to remember.
The
yeah,
irony.
Although I've been away to New York. I'm getting worried.
Oh, don't. Look,
it's
Steph
fine.
Came
it's
back only today. I feel you've been back in our world, in my life, for like much
longer.
I've
never left you, Boyd. I'm always in
Steph,
your heart.
So I can only cope with one holidaying issue at any given time. But yeah, it's got that. So there's amnesia story. That was all about amnesia. And this is kind of because she seems to have the woman who's linked to the 15 dead men.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
Seems to have amnesia.
Parallels.
Yes.
Oh, I think she's fibbing.
But you think that amnesia is better than this amnesia?
Yes.
Mm. Because your amnesia, Kay.
Yeah, and I've picked it.
Okay.
But no, saying that, it is good. I don't know if. I want to know what's happened. I think I'm going to find out from Steph.
I'll tell you.
Mm. What do you mean? People find out stuff from me.
Yeah, I know, but I think, you know, there's 7 more hours of this storytelling.
I'm going to write her an email with all the pertinent points.
I think it's a betrayal of the creators.
Why did you think it was too slow? What did you want
I think
to have
because they've
the
got the luxury maybe of 8 more. It's 8 episodes, isn't it? So they've got this time to like to let it slowly unfurl.
Yeah, Lord knows what they're going to do in the other 7. I have to.
Well, the bodies will defrost.
I know, but it feels like a 5 episode mystery, you know?
I can't believe this. You're both. I think you need to. I think I like slower television. I like
a slow burn.
Oh yeah, I like a slow burn.
No,
I have to warn you that the Western that I advise you to watch is quite a
glacial.
Slow pace as well.
I don't think either of us.
Semi-glacial.
Watch it.
No.
I don't think we are.
A glacial
Hopefully,
Western.
Some
let
of our more open-minded listeners who don't need everything to move at MTV pace.
Oh,
like
MTV.
You kids.
Oh my god, such a modern reference.
I know. You jazzy kids.
MTV pace.
You like everything has to be snappy pop video.
Snapchat.
Like, you know, like something done by Michael Jackson.
ABBA.
ABBA. I didn't notice the pace being slow at all, I have to say. It did remind me of going back to the days of Prime Suspect a bit, because it's about, you know, her and her. You see her life. I agree with you. The life with the daughter, is it?
She's got 2 daughters.
2 daughters, thank you. And the ex and the ex-husband, I thought
handsome.
Was interesting. And how she's got to juggle speaking to them on the phone with trying to find out how these 15 men are dead.
She's got that relationship with like her other colleague. Yeah. And I like all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. I didn't think it was slow at all.
I didn't think it was slow at all, yeah. I thought it was very interesting. I thought every
Maybe
scene,
I'm slow.
Maybe you're slow. I thought it was good.
I wouldn't say anything that insulting.
No, I was never suggesting that seriously, Boyd.
Did you resent it because you had to watch it and then you really wanted to get to the sex bots, didn't you? Yeah, I can tell.
You caught hands up, guys.
We've unearthed the truth. If she didn't have to get to the sex bots, she would have been happy with the slow, glacial
pace. It was very fast-paced, the sex bots, but for different reasons.
Witnesses, colon, a frozen death. And if I knew any French whatsoever, I would tell you what it was in French, but I don't.
If only we had somebody who spoke French here. Witnesses a frozen death.
Are you
going
to translate?
Yes,
yeah,
please
go on,
do,
John.
John, our esteemed
guru. What is the point
guru
of you French, John? What
refuses
is the point?
To, on the spot. Translate witnesses. Anyway, it starts on BBC Four this Saturday in the traditional style with a double bill. The double bill is every week. Mm. And how many stars are you giving it, Kay?
3.5 stars.
3.5?
Yeah.
That's balmy.
I'm going to watch the second episode. Maybe I needed to watch the double bill.
Listener, Steph has got her hands placed either side of her body in a look of frank disdain, I would say.
I always have you down for someone who likes the subtitles.
I do. It was between 3.5 and 4.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised she's marking it so low. Mm. Steph, but let's not judge each other. You know, we're judging this programme. Okay. Steph, how many
4
stars?
4.5. I think this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4.5. I think it's really good. Really, really good. And I've watched the second episode and it cracks on. It cracks on at pace.
Kay's on the turn. She's on the turn.
All right, I'm giving it 4.
Hey!
Oh, no,
I am giving it 4. Oh. Look, you can see it written there. 3.5 to 4. I'm going on the 4.
Oh, in Kay's notes, let me just confirm. Kay's official
the adjudicator.
She's right. It says 3.5-4.
Yes.
Next to witnesses a frozen death. So
we always
she's
take the
keeping it
one.
Real.
She is keeping it real.
She hasn't been persuaded by us.
No.
Bullies.
Never.
No.
Finally, in the meat, we get to one of Channel 4's many programmes, as I said earlier, about robots this next week. So they're showing Ex Machina, which is a really good film, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a good film.
On Saturday night on Channel 4.
With Alicia Vikander.
Alicia Vikander, right. And there's loads of things about, you know, how they're making robots, how robots are going to take over our lives, and they're going to cars made of robots.
Robots will be
that.
Doing this podcast.
Robots will be doing this podcast.
It'll be better.
But, of course, the most intriguing title of all of the robot season is The Sex Robots Are Coming. Kay, what
Excuse
the hell?
Me, The Sex Bots.
Well,
Sex Bots Are Coming.
You say that, but I actually think the title, they've changed this title a lot. So when I when we first seized upon this program, because I get sent the first version of the schedule, mm-hmm. and it said "Sex Bots Are Here," I think was the title. Then it went to "Sex Bots Are Coming," and I think it's now officially "Sex
really?
Robots." Yeah, because I think they thought people didn't know what sex bot was.
Who yeah. doesn't know what a sex
I know.
Bot is? Who hasn't?
Right.
We haven't lived.
Clearly, you do. You're obsessed with them. Did this? What does this program explain? What the hell sex bots are?
Okay, so let's just explain. So should we explain that
yes.
Kay and I have watched this, and you can ask us questions about it, Boyd?
What are you exposing the fact that I haven't watched it? Yes,
well, how are
we
going to talk
it?
About it if you haven't watched
let's
it?
Always be transparent.
I was going to draw a veil. I was going to gloss over the fact
no,
that
we
I haven't
want to expose
it.
That you haven't
this
done
is
your
not
something you can make up that you've watched.
It just I wasn't going to make it. I was just going to not.
This
comment.
Is not me and
Come
Dr. Foster Series 1.
Let's say what it's about.
One of you, please tell me what it's about.
Okay, so everyone knows that like dolls. Exist in life, right?
Everyone knows
adult dolls.
Exist
adult
in
such
life.
A true statement.
It's
hey,
such a true statement.
Let's always
statement.
Be factually correct.
Yeah. Well, sex dolls, I meant, right? Everyone knows they exist, but now to have this advanced stage, which is basically sex dolls with AI, so they're all thinking, all talking, and this kind of examines it because actually, in 2016, this is a fact for you.
Oh God,
it was a $2 billion industry. Aren't you impressed by that?
That's a good fact.
That is
what,
good
so
fact.
What, you mean creating sex robots is a $2 billion industry?
No, buying them.
Yeah, the industry was worth.
Oh, right, okay.
And there's a Californian real doll company, and they say that actually 80% of people want to get female dolls. And this examines it and the developments they have with making sex dolls, all thinking, all talking, and what goes into that, but and the people that use them,
yeah.
and what things they'll be able to do.
Yeah, primarily for doing the deed. Though.
No, but also keeping people company.
Oh, they're just
and
saying
talking.
That. There's a keeping guy on there.
Oh, it's the old keeping people
yeah,
company
exactly.
theory.
Oh, yeah, I just
it's
like to
not
dress
just,
her.
It's just
yeah, right.
not.
Of course you do.
But it's true. Sex. There's a guy on this. Okay, Boyd, right.
Yeah.
So listen to this.
You
You'll be shocked.
Are you talking about James?
James 58.
Right.
Okay. He's got three dolls okay. worth $2,000 each.
Now, listen to about James, right. James is married.
Right.
Lovely wife. Okay. Well, she's not lovely, but she's...
She is lovely.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Why is she not... Don't come on, let's not
all
be
right,
judgy
no,
about
no,
this.
No, no,
she's a
all
lovely
right,
person.
She's a lovely wife. She's got a really nice personality, right? No, I'm just saying.
Ooh.
Hold on, right? She went to go and look after her sick father. She was gone for like a month. In that
Are you
time...
you judging her for that?
No, 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 hold on. In that time, this twerp has gone and bought three dolls. So when she came back to her house... She had to live. She was sitting there, and there's these three women on the sofa dressed up, and they are made of rubber and plastic. And she was like, I just had
say,
to adapt.
Can I just say that's your second twerp of the podcast?
Is it?
Yeah. Second
I'm bringing it back. I'm
yeah,
bringing it
bringing
back.
Back.
But can
and
I just go back to your
why
point?
Why three? Why is
know.
One enough? Why, what's he doing with
what,
three?
Well, he has got a favourite called April.
Okay.
I say his favourite is called April. Now, the thing that... I think James, our producer John doesn't have a sex doll that we know of. James, the 58-year-old, has these dolls. And what's interesting about this is, as you say, he's got a wife. So I always imagine people with dolls, sex dolls...
Are lonely.
Are lonely people who are looking for company. But he's got a loving wife who just went away for 4 weeks.
Four weeks?
And in this time, he's moved in these dolls. And when they're asked, where do these dolls like sleep? In the bed with them.
Yeah.
Now, this poor woman, I feel really sorry for the wife because she's sitting there and they're asked something like, you know, describe April. And he's like, she's my perfect dream girl. While his wife is
what
sitting
does she
there.
Say?
Well, she
what does
say,
April
she,
say?
She,
April can't talk.
His poor wife hasn't got any teeth either. I know, she's like a toothless, poor toothless
she
lady.
She can talk, though.
I thought for a minute, he was actually mute. But,
no,
boys can
oh,
feed April's
so
a doll
cruel.
As well.
No, I know, but I want to know
wife.
What the wife's sitting there.
She just said she just had to get used to it.
With these three sex dolls in the bed.
Yeah, she's
she
like, I just had to get used to it. She's just the most understanding woman ever.
Yeah, because he's asked, choose between, you know, your wife basically and the doll. And he's like, ooh, that's a tough one.
I still don't get why he's got three. Because he can have an orgy
greedy.
With them.
Greedy. That's why. Greedy.
Sex doll, sex robot orgy.
So, he probably is. Probably.
Let's not get too into it.
But he takes her out. He takes like dolls out and then he positions this doll so it gives him a cuddle. And you're like, you're a lunatic.
So just to make clear, because there was a famous Channel 4 documentary about people with these like life-size
lunatics.
Things, right?
Yeah.
And then, which was in 30 Rock, did a little side plot about it. Which was very funny. But these are robotic versions of that. Those dolls were
So his aunt. But he got to test out this one called Harmony, which is a robotic doll.
So what this program's
about
is
using him as the perfect.
Yeah, because he loves his dolls so much. But what it's about is about the fact that basically there's all these sex dolls. Everybody's got these sex dolls because they're all crazy. And then it's saying the next thing is that they're going to be able to be like, oh, I love you so much. Oh, you're so
with different temperaments, even like the different
have
like
I told
nipples.
You how good you make me feel.
All of that preferences kind of are going to be catered for.
Different nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, they're so lifelike.
Some takeaways from this that you need to know, Boyd, right? The robotic head, when they show it in development, looks like a skin-startled monkey,
It does look like a
skin. And it is the stuff of nightmares.
It really
I don't know
is.
Why people would buy
it's
into
like,
this.
It's like, why would you put a bit of your anatomy in a robot? It's like, you wouldn't put your winky in a microwave, would you? Why would you put it in a robot?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
And the most distressing thing that I've seen, right, is the moment that the woman who's developing this sex robot pulls out a vaginal insert, right, which is so, like, honestly traumatizing. I've seen Khloe Kardashian, no, Kourtney Kardashian, one of the Kardashians, give birth, pulling a baby out of her, and that was more. And this is more traumatizing, seeing the vaginal insert being pulled out. Honestly, it looked like a giraffe's tongue.
It was absolutely vile.
It was as long as a giraffe's tongue. This
program is like one of those things that you can't stop watching because it's so crazy, but you actually can't believe that people do buy these things. And I'm not just saying that because I'm very close-minded, because I understand that people do weird shit. But oh my God, it is mad. And there's like, he puts makeup on them and stuff like, but the thing is, what's so shocking is, like, he's got a wife. I mean, she hasn't got any teeth, but she's there.
Another case study.
Let's not be prejudiced against the toothless.
No, I'm just saying, she's like, she's a nice woman.
But there is another case study of a guy who takes a month out of his year, goes and lives in France with his doll, not robotic doll.
Oh, this is crazy.
And
a lot of non-robotic dolls for a documentary supposedly about robots.
No, but it's about the fact that these robots are coming.
Yeah, exactly. They're not on the market. There's a race to be the first on the market.
Coming.
Yeah. The Japanese company are going to win because we saw their advert at the end.
Oh, okay. So there's quite a lot about the robots.
But back to this guy in France.
Yes.
The reason he gives for it, because he also has a wife, is that it stops him from like straying. So it's like, it's very interesting that a lot of these case studies are people who are in seemingly fully functioning relationships.
Yeah. Have either of you seen Sleeper, the Woody Allen film?
No, I haven't.
It's a bit like that. Yeah, you should watch it. It's very funny.
These men are idiots.
Because Gemma Chan, do you see when Humans was started series 2? Gemma Chan did a documentary where they tried to create a robot in her image. Like an identical robot.
Because she looks quite robotic in the like no
oh,
not
well
in
she plays it. Yeah, she
no,
plays
but you know what I mean. Like she's got very beautiful skin and she's got like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she has
not
got incredible
like
skin,
she's got perfect teeth and she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she is.
Let's just be clear. I love her.
But funnily enough, I was supposed to be in that documentary. And I went to see them. I went to meet this robotic head of Gemma Chan they created. And I was supposed to be in it, and they cut me out of the documentary.
Why?
I know.
Why would they cut you out? Did you say something silly?
They just didn't.
They also sent us.
They just didn't need me.
They also sent us a robot. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
In the box.
Yes, they did, yeah.
It wasn't a sex robot.
It was empty, though, wasn't it, the box?
I just think the whole concept of sex robots and having sex with life, it's just weird. Do you think?
It is, but I think this is
very interesting. Are there any women?
That's the thing. Yes. That's what was wrong with it.
Who want male robots?
But they don't feature them.
We didn't see it.
They don't feature them. So it's just these, like, two men and you
think, that's weird. Why didn't they feature that?
I don't know if they exist.
Yeah, because...
I bet they do.
Really?
Yeah.
You think... I don't know. You think there are women out there who want male sex robots?
I don't think it's not.
Why is this? Is that inconceivable?
No, it's not inconceivable. I just think women are better in general.
The expression. I wish I could take a picture of the expression on John's face right now. By the way,
I don't know. Well, it's just a much bigger industry for men. Like Kay said, it's 80%.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not saying it's not. But 20%. There's 20% women after.
You're right. They weren't represented in this. However, there was the representation of the campaign against these sex bots because it says that it encourages misogyny against women.
Oh. And also, all of these sex bots are like, they're all like, they look like porn stars. They look like they've all got like perfect bodies and gigantic boobs and you know.
Right. It'd be weird to have an imperfect sex robot, wouldn't it?
I know, they should be more realistic. You should be more realistic. So it's like, just be realistic.
Have one that looks like Steph.
Yeah, have one that looks like me.
This is straying into very uncomfortable territory.
But it's like this, so with this robotic doll, the one that you should see at the end, all she does is say really nice things to this guy. It's like, you make me feel so good. I love your new shirt. You look so amazing. I mean, it's just not real life.
Yeah,
that's
but if
why, that's the appeal, isn't it?
You don't want one that's going to say, take
life,
the rubbish out, you
real
lazy
life
bastard.
Yeah, do you know what? Just man up and deal with it. That's what I think should happen. I just can't be...
Well, wasn't it a fascinating documentary to watch?
Yeah, it was.
It's a wrap-up from Gay. It was the most subtle wrap-up from Gay I've ever heard.
It was
How many stars are you two going to give it? Kay?
I'm giving it 3.5 stars because I thought it was interesting. However, the vaginal insert image will always, is burnt into my retinas.
I think it's a very enjoyable watch and it's a talking point. So I think you should watch it, but not with any young children around. But I think it's on very late. What
God,
time
no,
is it on?
Anything that's called
10 o'clock. Bots, it's on Channel 4 next Thursday at 10 o'clock. The vaginal inserts are coming. Sorry, the sex bots are coming.
Yeah,
how many stars? Did you say how many stars? No, you didn't.
3.
Okay.
But only watch it if you've done all your box set binges and everything else is done.
If you watch your 8-hour Western and your 8-hour French crime drama.
Yeah.
Finally, it is...
Question time.
We had lots of options this week. We've gone for, much to Kay's joy, and reflecting the sex robots. And the whole robot season, to be fair, on Channel 4, we're asking, which is your favourite film or television robot of all time? Stephanie Seelan, I turn to you because Kay doesn't know.
Right. I would always say that Johnny Five from Short Circuit is my favourite, but mostly because there's a character in there called Stephanie. And when I was younger, I was so excited that he had this woman that he said, Stephanie, in it. And I love that because I'm an egotist.
That's a very specific reason.
Yeah, but also, can I just say, I'm going to have another one as well because I love Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah, that's a great film. Yeah. Underrated
so underrated. But there's Disney, a new one Disney coming out.
Is that?
Yeah,
I don't
there's
know
a new
that.
One coming out. Yeah.
Big Hero 7 or Big Hero 6 2?
I think he's Big Hero 6, but I can't.
Another Big Hero 6?
Another Big Hero 6. I'm going
to
look
lots of options. Yeah. While you look that up, Kay, I'm sorry to, because let's face it, let's be honest, nothing came to mind quickly. So what have you chosen for your favourite film or TV robot?
Hold on, she wanted to say Alf, and then you pointed out
I am saying Alf.
She's saying Alf.
I'm saying Alf. Basically, we had this discussion beforehand of what the questions would be, and I was saying, okay, guys, but I just want you to, I've never watched a film, I don't watch films with robots, and it's not my bag, so we can do it, but I'm going to say Alf. And they were like, you can't say Alf. And anyway, I wanted to do stand-up comedians, but my answer is still Alf.
So Alf was, I believe, an alien.
Yes.
A kind of little puppet alien thing in that. In
which I'd love to see in robotic form.
Yeah. Well, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I like to snout particularly.
I say fair enough. I mean, it's not a robot in any way, but...
It's not a robot. No other robots.
No.
Okay.
What's yours?
I'm going for...
Oh, God, is it a robot in Doctor Who? Oh, my God, is it a robot in Sherlock? What is it?
A robot in Sherlock?
I just always... you know they're your go-to answers.
There were dummies in Sherlock. There was an episode of Sherlock.
Oh, God.
Now you've mentioned it.
So easy to get him coming.
With a bit of a similar thing going on to the 15 dead men in the bus. I meant to say this right at the beginning of that review, when we reviewed that.
Say
I feel
now.
Sherlockian. Because there's a whole scene in the plane where there are loads of kind of dummies, and it reminded me of Sherlock. I thought it was a Sherlock style premise. Right. Very Sherlock Holmes, I think, is this kind of incredibly enticing mystery premise. It's a very Arthur Conan Doyle type plot. Anyway, my favourite robot on screen is in one of my favourite films, AI, Artificial Intelligence, directed by Steven Spielberg from an original idea by the late, great Stanley Kubrick. And it starred Haley Joel Osment.
When he was cute.
As harsh.
Before his face.
I'm not agreeing with your... visual fascism.
Yeah, you are.
Body fascism.
Hold on. He is...
Toothless.
Whenever they do like a... Whatever happened to these child stars, he's... Big round face is always in it. It is, though. Like, I'm not saying... No, it is.
Listeners, if you have any complaints, please direct them to @...
Just come back from Gran Canaria a bit.
I'm just saying. He's... Child face is on the head of an adult now. Is
anyway,
what I'm saying. It didn't expand out.
Oh God, this is a whole dark alley that we've gone down. When our AI Artificial Intelligence, he stars as the ultimate little childlike android, and he is so brilliant in that film. If you think he's good in The Sixth Sense, you should see AI Artificial Intelligence, which is a masterpiece. And I mean, I would say watch it, but you find it annoying.
I'm not going to watch it.
But it is absolute genius. One of Steven Spielberg's greatest achievements. Jude Law, incredible, as another robot. Frances O'Connor as the mother of... And it's kind of like the Pinocchio story retold about him. Instead of the Pinocchio being a toy, he's the robot. And it's got the most incredible ending. And Kay's looking at another Kay look.
Again, it is just her face.
She's smiling this time, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called Baymax Returns, by the way. This Big Hero 6 thing that's coming back.
Baymax Returns?
He's called Baymax, isn't he?
I think they might want to rethink that title.
Why? It's like Batman Returns. That's why they've done it.
Okay, maybe.
I'll tell them to rethink.
Anyway, I apologise for making two references to Kay's face. And apologies for the rudeness of you for your.
I do not apologize
for judging Hayley Joel Osment.
Very unkind about that woman. What? I do
no,
not stand
I
by
said
that.
She was nice.
Okay, fine.
Toothless people are nice.
God. Toothless people.
Listen, while
are
you
nice.
Two are like just
it's
being
the second
mad,
thing.
Can I just say, give another opportunity to all anyone listening, if you want to get in touch with us at Steph Celan, at Boyd Hilton, at Kay Ribeiro, and I've raised the new. Thermometer to 60 reviews by Christmas, okay. Guys. So if you want to get in touch on iTunes and leave a review, that'd be great. And if you don't know how to do it, just get in touch. I'm going to put together a dossier,
okay,
for any kind of
okay.
device you may be using.
Can you email Diederik Santa and let him know how
yes.
to
yes Santa yeah. I expect a message in your inbox.
Thank you very much. I think that concludes the program, the podcast for today. It's a goodbye from me
Goodbye from me
and it's goodbye from me
and we'll be back next week. Thanks, bye.